views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm excited today we're going to talk about the art of awakening shamanic consciousness. My guest is Linda Starwolf, author of Soul Whispering, The Art of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness. Starwolf is the founding director and president of Venus Rising Association for Transformation, Venus Rising University, and the Shamanic Ministers Global Network. She's the author of 9 books, including Shamanic Breathwork, Shamanic Mysteries of Egypt, and Visionary Shamanism, and the creator of the Shamanic Breathwork Process. She resides both at Isis Cove Community near Asheville, North Carolina, and in Marin County, California. Starwolf teaches and leads retreats regularly at Open Center New York, Omega Institute, Hollyhock, and Sedona Mago Retreat, as well as numerous other retreat centers nationally. She leads people several times a year to sacred sites and works with local shaman and indigenous healers in Peru, Egypt, and Mexico. So welcome, Linda Starwolf.
Hi, thank you.
Yes, so I want to start off, I always do in my show, of you telling your story. So briefly, yeah, I know there's lots of stories in the book of your healing journey, but what led you, a specific healing perhaps, or your journey towards being I guess you would call yourself a soul whisperer?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think probably for anybody who's a soul whisperer that it's a whole combination of things that happen for people. For most of us, I think that it probably starts in our childhood. I frequently say if I had been born in the 80s or 90s, I would have been one of those children that they call the indigo or crystal children. But I was born in the 50s, so instead of a indigo or a crystal, I got to be a hippie.
Yeah.
So in the 60s and 70s, I like to also say that's when I did a lot of field research into altered states. And luckily, I made it through that era and learned a lot. In fact, in our book, the first chapter, the subchapter is called From Baby Boomer to Shaman. And I think there were a lot of us that were really opening up to consciousness at that time. It was a massive energetic movement. You know, the old slogan of drugs, sex, and rock and roll, was the reason they said that, because there was so much exploration that was going on. Some of it not so healthy, and yet it was definitely breaking out of a world that had been basically black or white into technicolor. And honestly, it was during the 50s and 60s when the movies went from black and white to technicolor. So the reality is that color and multidimensionality and levels of consciousness that had not been maybe in the forefront of people's consciousness burst onto the scene. So both myself and my colleague, who also happens to be my best friend, Nita Gage and I, we wrote about our experiences from our childhood. We both had some painful things, like quite frankly, most children do. Having been a therapist for many years, I've seen many, many people and understand their journeys through their childhood. But one of the biggest things for me, being one of those different kind of kids, thank goodness I had a very special shamanic grandmother when I was a little girl who grounded me in nature. And she died when I was 12, and it really catapulted me into a descent. So the thing that had grounded me was now gone out of my life, basically. And so that was a rather, I guess you could say, spiral and perilous journey in some ways until I got into my 20s. Simultaneously, at the same time, I was studying to be a social worker because that was kind of a, went hand in hand in that time, as I said before, with the hippie era. Many of us were becoming social workers and counselors and therapists. And one of the first things we figured out was that we needed therapy. After working with people for a little while, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm in this profession for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and going into that profession, I think many of us were looking for answers and wanting to save the world, quote unquote. And what we really needed to do was save ourselves so that we could make a difference in the world. So those were really my early beginnings. If you want to fast forward, you know, my story around all of this, because my story travels throughout my lifetime, but moving into my mid-30s and 40s, I really went deeply into alternative therapies in addition to traditional psychotherapy and psychology, where I had been working in mental health centers, where I'd actually become an addiction specialist and supervised treatment units, those kinds of things, and really loved the work I was doing. And at the same time, knew there had to be more, especially based on my own psyche. And that's when I really went into deep pursuit of really shamanism and breath work. And they're, you know, they're known as alternative realities or alternative ways of working with people. But I've been doing it for so long now that doing anything less would be alternative for me. So then that's the truth. So I've integrated, as you, you know, said in the beginning, some of the things that I've done and places I've been, I've really integrated the last 30 plus years of my life into the field of psychology and spirituality. And I actually coined a phrase about 15 years ago. The one phrase that was that's been out there for about, I think, 25 years is psycho-spiritual. But I coined a phrase called shamanic psycho-spiritual. And what that really means to me, Chris, is bringing together the psychological world, which I think has validation that we need to understand our patterns, addictions, family of origin stuff, all that kind of stuff, cultural stuff. But we can't get stuck there. So that's the psycho piece or the psychological piece. And in fact, it does turn psycho if we don't deal with it. So the psycho piece. And then the spiritual piece that people have been talking about for about 25 years is bringing psychology and spirituality together. In ancient traditions, it was never separated. But in our more modern culture, it's been separated. So bringing spirituality in its various forms together. But bringing the shamanic piece, to me, really wraps up the whole thing. And why, by calling it shamanic psycho-spiritual, is that the shamanic piece actually brings in our planet. It brings in earth, water, air, and fire. It brings in the ceremonial pieces. It brings in the fact that we are shamanic by birthright. It is our lineage. So that's been my journey. I have many, I mean, literally hundreds of stories, and I feel, you know, would be happy to share any of them. But that's been my journey of bringing those pieces together. Nita has her own story, and she has a parallel story, somewhat different and yet very similar. And we actually met at a breathwork when we were both in our 30s. So the breathwork was the unifying piece that brought us together. And then 21 years ago, I created my own form of breathwork called shamanic breathwork that I've been training and certifying students for years. In fact, we just had a month long here at my retreat center where we trained and certified people. We had 30 people here for a month.
Wow.
So, yeah. All over the world.
And just let people know that Nita Gage is the co-author of The Soul Whispering.
Yes.
So, and she couldn't be on the show today. But so let's talk about what is Soul Whispering, since that's the book title.
Yes. Well, the book title, of course, is Soul Whispering and the Art of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness. And originally, we'd actually thought the title, you know, this is the way it works usually with book publishers. We'd actually thought about the title of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness in the Art of Soul Whispering. So it could either, it could actually go either way. But what soul whispering means to both Nita and myself is awakening shamanic consciousness. And what does it mean to awaken shamanic consciousness? It's really about being able to listen, if you will, to the shaman within. It's about being able to listen, some might call it a muse or the inner spirit or the deep intuitive knowing, or some people say their gut. But it is this awareness that I think more and more people are coming to, is that Big Pharma is not going to heal us. You know, the politicians aren't going to save us. That there's no outer authority that can do for us what we need to do for ourselves. And yet many people are walking around and saying, well, if I knew what to do, I would do it. So where are we going to get those answers? You know, early on in my 20s, you know, I was working in therapy and, you know, really learning how to be a psychotherapist. And I felt like I had to have the answers for people. By 30, I knew that I didn't have the answers for them. I barely had the answers for myself. So that's when I went into deeper exploration myself through contacting my own soul whisperer from within, if you will, through shamanic breath work. Well, at that time, it wasn't shamanic breath work, but it was other forms of breath work and deep inner processes. And in shamanism, you know, going on different ceremonies and going into sweat lodges, going to fire walks, all kinds of things, things that would put me out of ordinary consciousness into an expanded state of consciousness where my senses were heightened and really, you might say, where my shaman got turned on. And the interesting piece that I learned, especially from my adopted grandmother when I was an adult, Grandmother Twyla Nitch, Wolf Clan Mother of the Seneca, is that she really taught me that being a shaman was natural for everybody, that there are those designated in cultures called shamans. But she believed, and she was shaman, and her grandfather was a shaman, a Wolf Clan shaman. She believed that each of us had direct contact to what she called the field of plenty. And in that field of plenty is where everything resided. And that if we could go into that space, we could find any answer that we needed. I just want to tell you, this is before there was any such thing as Google on the internet or GPS systems when I was studying with her around this. And, you know, it's only been the last few years, and Grandmother Twyla passed in 2007, but that I've thought, you know, what she was really talking about is that inner Google or inner GPS that we all have, that homing, those homing devices, we know how to find our way home. We all have the answers within. It's not just a cliche.
And we're going to have to take a pause right now and go to commercial break. We'll come back and talk more with Linda Starwolf and about soul whispering.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Are you searching, looking for a sign, a message you need to hear from the great unknown, from the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net, 1-800-323-1790.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking with Linda Starwolf, and we're talking about her new book that she wrote with Nita Gage, Soul Whispering, The Art of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness. So, Starwolf, you were talking about, what Soul Whispering is about, and I'd love for you to go a little bit more into, one of the things it does, you were talking about going inward, and this work is an inward journey, not to get the ounces outside there. And one of the things is looking at, that you talk about in the book, is looking at our shadows and breaking free from the patterns of dysfunction and the shadow and how that, and we know, we see it in others, we see it in ourselves, how that impacts our lives. And so talk to us about how using soul whispering, we can break free from these dysfunctional mm-hmm. patterns.
Well, first of all, the shadow was a word that Carl Jung made popular. Carl Jung was a, very famous Swiss psychoanalyst and was a kind of a, I guess you could say, a star student and then later on colleague of Freud's. And he brought forth the concept that there's a big part of ourselves that we don't know about. Most of us, will walk around thinking that we know who we are. And I think a lot of us now that are coming into consciousness, we can say, well, maybe I don't know everything that I am. But in general, I would say that most people, especially in the 50s into the 60s, really kind of thought they knew who they were. So this word or this concept of the shadow, which really basically means from Carl Jung's perspective, that which is in the unconscious, that which has been repressed that we don't know about, and potentially what is in there is not only things like repressing, our rage or our fears or those kinds of things, which could be helpful sometimes that we don't act those things out in the world. But also what we repress, when we repress those things, is sometimes we repress our passion. We repress our creativity. We repress our spontaneity or inner knowing and seek an outer authority on ourselves instead of that inner knowing. So the work of doing analysis over the years, what people were learning to do was to access not only their wounds, but also their greatness, and to look at the light and the shadow that's repressed in the shadow. Sometimes we go, ooh, it's what's in the shadow is this dark. But a lot of what's in the shadow, in fact, I think Carl Jung was supposed to say at one point, he believed that about 9/10 of what was in our shadow was pure gold. And the rest of it, the darkness, was there to create alchemy and to turn it into gold. So it's kind of like the fertilizer. you know, that creates the gardens, that's holy stuff in the ground there. That's holy stuff in the shadow. And so instead of repressing things or, you know, taking pharmaceuticals to get rid of uncomfortable feelings such as depression or anxiety or those kinds of things, we actually encourage people to allow those things to come up. Now, I do want to say here as a side note, having worked in the field of psychology and worked very intensely with people who are in psychotic states, that was my first career, really, was working in a mental health center and helped running programs specifically geared to people who were actively psychotic. I spent 5 days a week with people from about 10 in the morning to about 4 in the afternoon in groups that were actively psychotic and working with them, and many of those people on medications. And I want to say that I am not at all against medications that can help someone who is suicidal or suicidally depressed or in a psychotic state that cannot function whatsoever. And at the same time, I have watched people have psychotic episodes come through them and get to the other side. Will Hall, who's a colleague of ours and we spoke about in the book, himself was on many medications, had psychosis, things like that, got hooked into the pharmaceutical world, and at some point detoxed himself off of all of that and has been doing groundbreaking work for years and years and years now on helping others who maybe had an episode in some way and came out of it, and then helping them get off different medications. So I'm not at all against anyone, and anybody listening to this, I'm not advising that you go out and stop taking medications. But I am saying that it's important to be cautious that we don't go on medications unconsciously. Right now there's 561,000 patented drugs for illnesses. That's an important thing to know. And a huge part of them are to control people's mood. So that's rather scary, I think. And, you know, Grandmother Twyla, the Seneca Wolf Clan, she used to say to me, you know, these emotions, do we think that the creator, the great mystery, made those creations, made us accidentally? They said, oops, I gave them emotions. I was only meaning to give them happy or joyful emotions. They're not ever supposed to get angry or sad or frustrated or lonely or depressed or any of those things. All of those feelings and emotions. Maybe we were meant to have the whole array of emotions so we can really feel the joy when we feel it and really feel the sadness when we feel it. And maybe our emotions are there as indicators that something is either working or not. Something is you know, that we're in balance or we're out of balance. And so they're actually helpful. What's not helpful is if we disconnect from them, repress them, disassociate from them, or label them bad in some ways. And that's the kind of thing that goes into the shadow. So when people show up, and if they come to me and they show up in my groups, depressed or anxious, one of the first things that we do is we begin to look at the shadow. And one of the best ways to do that that I know of is to create a safe and sacred container for people of confidentiality. We frequently do this work in groups. So we create community, so there's kindred spirit, and help people to go into natural altered states. As I said before, in the 60s, 70s, I did a lot of experimentation. I myself ran into some trouble with that. I watched a lot of people have trouble with it. And I know it's very popular for people today now to go to different places and to take plant medicines and other things like that. And as long as that's done in a safe and conscious container, I have no problem with that. But it's not my path, and it's not what I use with people. I really have found through my own exploration of 40 years of altered states and expanded consciousness awareness, the same thing that Grandmother Twyla taught me. And that is that we all know how to get high. We all know how to expand our consciousness through music, through laughter, through great food, through sunsets, through jumping into the ocean, through walking and playing with our dog, through making love. There's a million ways to expand our consciousness, even exercising or running, and that we release the chemicals in our brains and our bodies that alter our states of consciousness. And the yogis know this, that have worked with the breathing and the yoga and the postures and the asanas and the breathing methods. So that's the route I decided to take. And that is the method that I've been teaching. I've been teaching for about 35 years breath work, and I've been teaching specifically shamanic breath work for 21 years. And by using these methods, we're really able to access the psyche at a very deep level and to bring forth out of the repressed consciousness the things that are holding people back. And what's really great about it, in the 60s, we would take substances that would alter our consciousness. And I remember a few times thinking I had discovered the keys to the universe. The only problem was when I came back, I couldn't remember any of it. So, I'd try to get back there and I couldn't. But with these methods, when people come back into ordinary consciousness, they remember their altered state and they remember the things that that come from those expanded states of perhaps family issues, things they've repressed, things that happened in childhood, sometimes abuse at the hand of, even church elders or schools, things like that, or their families. And all of these things that people bring forth, there's a, in the Gnostic literature of the Gnostic, Christ was supposed to have said, that which you bring forth will save you, but that which you do not bring forth will destroy you. So on that note, I really have a sense that what we're bringing forth, while it may bring up some uncomfortability and take some processing and digestion and metabolizing into the system, that once the shadow is owned and we can and continue to visit there regularly to know what's in the shadow, it's really a healthy, very healthy thing to do on every level.
Well, and that's really part of the healing journey is, to uncover those parts that are kind of hidden. We liked, and I think one of the things in your book that you mentioned is to stop hiding.
Yes.
And to recognize that to not be the victim. It's not your fault to unravel the false personality. Well, we're going to take another break and we're going to come back and talk more with Linda Starwolf. And I want to get into the five cycles of change and what are, what's everything that's associated with the five cycles of change. Stay tuned.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, and low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough. Overcome life's greatest challenges and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
You know that feeling in your gut, that tiny whisper in the back of your ear, the tinge behind your knee that says, let's go for it. But then your mind says, that's ridiculous. Do you ever wonder if that little voice might be onto something? My name is Audrey Michelle. I'm the host of Rewired Life Radio, as well as a spiritual growth coach. If you're ready to stop letting fear lead you around, let's talk. If you're at the point in your life where you're ready to shed layers of what you thought you were supposed to be and are ready to take the next step to trust your best resource, let's talk. I can help you discover the voice of inner wisdom. I will guide you through a process to unearth your best self. To learn more, go to audreymichelle.com/coaching. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled MICHELL.com/coaching.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
A word of caution. If you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm with Linda Starwolf, and we're talking about her new book with Nita Gage. It's called Soul Whispering. Starwolf, can you please give your website and anything that you would like to share about what people can receive from your website?
Sure. The website is shamanicbreathwork.org, and there's lots of things on there, and there's some free downloads on there. And in fact, I do want to mention in the new book, Soul Whispering, The Art of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness, that in the back of the book, you can go in and there are several downloads of journeys that you can access. And Ananda's journey, The Medicine Wheel, Working with the Shadow. And then it also gives you information on how to use the Soul Whispering audio tracks. So some of those are from Nita and some are from myself. There's one on contacting your future self also a neuro-imaginal journey. So those are some little bonuses there. And on the shamanicbreathwork.org, there's actually a very large schedule of the events that are happening across the country, because Nita and I can't wait to see her. I'm getting ready to go to Sedona. We'll be doing a book signing in Sedona. We'll also be doing a workshop there. We're doing several book signings in California, in the Bay Area, including at CEIS University, East West, and lots of other things. So, and that's all through this year, actually. We have many, many things, too many things I can't even remember that we're doing, but happy to see people along the road.
Okay, great. Yeah, so everybody check out shamanicbreathwork.org. Well, let's talk about, I'd love for you to describe the five cycles of change and just some basic elements about them.
Yes, you know, in the shamanic world, there are four directions. There's actually more, but there's the four cardinal directions are east, south, west, and north. And each one of those relates to an element. And, you know, it's kind of like churches or even Christian churches have different philosophies. And of course, different religions have different philosophies, kind of about the same thing. So, but they, you know, they have differences. But one of the medicine wheels that I work with primarily is that in the east, you have the air. In the south, you have the fire. In the west, you have water, and in the north, you have earth. And then in the within, in the center, is actually spirit. Also above is the above world or upper world, the cosmos, and the below is really the underworld or the experience of being really human and connecting to the core of the earth itself. But the four main directions that connect with the elements and the inner direction, if you will, of the inner spirit is where I really started to look at what does that really mean when I started working with the medicine wheel about 35 years ago. And in working with that, I began to understand what it meant to walk the sacred hoop and to walk through our life and to start in the east. Like it's, you know, the sun comes up and you're a child, and then you go into the south and you have your kind of your adolescence, and you go into the west and you, you know, become this adult. And as the sun is beginning to go down in the west, you move to the north and you become the elder. And this is a cycle of life. But it also occurred to me during that time that that's not a one-time deal. It's not just a chronological linear path. And all of my studies and all of my inner journeys especially, and all of my psychological awareness, I became aware of patterns. And I became aware of the shamanic world, of how every year, you know, I live here in the beautiful Blue Mountains of Western North Carolina. Literally, I'm looking out the mountains and there's millions of trees all around me. And about 99% of those trees lose their leaves every year. And when they do, none of them go for therapy. None of them go in and say, I lost all my leaves. What did I do wrong? They're just in a cycle of change. We have hundreds of thousands of birds here, obviously, because of the trees, the insects. And those birds molt every year. There's little feathers everywhere. And none of them go to therapy and say, you know, I was doing good, and all of a sudden my feathers started falling out. You know, this is because the animal world, the natural world, the standing people, the tree, all of these things, you know, the coal that turns into diamond says, I don't understand. I was a piece of coal and now I'm a diamond. You know, what happened? Everything in life changes. Everything goes through cycles, and it continues to go through cycles as far as I can see, as long as it has form and as long as it lives. And it seems to me that that is the shamanic world. The natural world is the shamanic world, and that human beings are the only ones that I know of, the only ones that have separated themselves from the natural shamanic world of the cycles of change, and have forced ourselves very rigidly to be on a narrow linear path. And there is nothing, the scientists will tell you, there is nothing that travels linearly very long. It may look like it's turning linear, but then it begins to turn into a circle, and then it turns into a spiral. So the from the actual cosmos itself to our spiraling galaxy, all the way to our wind patterns, our ocean patterns, to the actual blood coursing through our veins, to the cells themselves, down to the little infinite beings and particles in the earth, everything is moving in a spiral pattern. And the spiral pattern is really what contains these energies of water, earth, air, and fire, animated, I believe, as Grandmother Twyla taught me, by the great spirit, by the great mystery, which is the unknown. And, you know, is very personal to each and every being on our planet. But the cycles themselves consist of becoming willing to step off of a linear path and even a circular path. A circular path can just be like a cat chasing its tail or a dog chasing its tail and can be addictive. You can stay in therapy for 55,000 years if you just, you know, go around the same old circle and pattern. Or you can just say you don't need therapy and just keep walking straight forward and denying everything and be in that very linear patriarchal mode of thinking that you know everything because your ego knows. But there's some place in between, and that is the soul whispering, where we get off of both of those patterns and start listening to our own natural cycle. For instance, if we listened and we had a cycle one is a water cycle. And it's a cycle that's saying that it's time to replenish, time to rest, time to meditate, time perhaps to go sit by the water or listen to the water or to drink a glass of water instead of sitting at the computer for 3 hours. A water cycle might mean we need to, that we've been working too hard and we really need to take a vacation and curl up in bed with a good book, or meditate deeply about what our next pattern or life or decision is. It's not time for a lot of action. It's time for a lot of reflection and also absorption. A cycle two is an earth cycle. And in an earth cycle, it's about being grounded. It's about connecting to the energy of the earth and saying, what do I need to do next? What are the next right steps? To chop wood, carry water. So it's very practical. It's making a plan. It's creating a structure. And really being able to implement that because we've given it some thought. We might even go to a therapist during that time, or a coach, or an expert on something, and or maybe a shaman, you know, and say, I need some help. I can't quite get where I'm going, what I'm doing. I need some support. So it's a very grounding thing. And you might find yourself going out and planting a garden or working with your hands or, writing out a structure or an outline during that time. And of course, I'm just going over these very briefly. There's more, lots more in the book about this, how to identify and know whether you're in a positive cycle or a negative cycle related to the cycles of change. The next cycle is fire, number three, and that is going to the fire, which is then implementing your plan, getting very passionate about it, being very excited about it, maybe creating a team that you work with. It's about being able to push through the barriers. Maybe people say, well, that's a silly idea. It'll never work. You know, my mom, who's still alive, and dad in their late 80s, they love me and they're very proud of the work that I do today. But in my 20s and 30s, I said, nobody will ever do that. How are you going to make a living doing that? You know, and I kind of deflated, you know, a little bit. And I just said, I don't care. I have to do this. So that part of me found my fire, you know, when kind of the earth came in and said, now, what's your plan? You know, and I said, I don't know, but I'm going to do it, you know. The fourth cycle, when we have that plan and we're using our oomph, when we're using our will and our fire and our passion, that fourth cycle is actually the cycle, interestingly enough, after developing that strong will and fire, of letting go. It's about taking the best you have, giving it all you have, and then surrendering it over to great mystery or to whatever is sacred to you, and trusting the process. And this is just like a woman who's giving birth. She can push and she can do everything that's hers to do and breathe, and the cervix can open. But there's a point where something has to take over that's bigger than her mind, than her strength, than her power, something that's bigger. And I've given birth to a child, and I've also been in the room with two of my grandchildren when they were born. There's something bigger than all of us, than midwives, doctors, anyone, that happens when that child is born. So it's the same thing in birthing anything. In that fourth cycle, we really let go and trust the process and let whatever's coming to be born, because frequently it's even bigger than anything we could have imagined. And the fifth cycle is air. The fourth cycle was spirit and surrender. The fifth cycle is air, where whatever's being born comes out into the air and takes its breath. It's expanded. It's in a whole new world. It has a bigger picture. We can see our whole journey. And frequently when we're in an air cycle, we write a book, we have a baby, we share our ideas with people in the world, we do a radio interview, and we're excited to share what we've learned and what we've done with the world, and to teach and to bring things forth. So those cycles are very important.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, unfortunately, we have to take another break. We're going to come back and talk more with Linda Starwolf, and we'll get more into some of the details of the shamanic consciousness changing.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Live your magnificence, for the love of joy is a precious gift offered to us by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. He takes us on an incredible 30-day adventure to expand our minds and hearts with the nectar of life, love, and joy. This book will help you bring more joy, love, health, abundance, adventure, romance, and magnificence into your life
tune in to the hit show Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraluce.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking with Linda Star Wolf today and about her new book with Nita Gage called Soul Whispering, The Art of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness. So you've been sharing a lot of there's so many aspects in your book, but probably the main thing in what you are teaching people is about our healing and using the shamanic breath work. So let's talk about how that is a tool and what that does for, what is it and what it does for people.
Well, the shamanic breath work for me has been the quickest, most efficient and grounded way to shift consciousness. And in our book, we give lots of tools for people so they can pick and choose. But to me, this is kind of the Rolls Royce. This is, you know, the first class way to shift. And I think that Nita would agree with that as well. And I've literally led hundreds and thousands of people through breathwork journeys all over the world for many, many years. And by far, that has been the feedback from people. And I believe that the reason that people love breathwork so much, and especially the shamanic breathwork, is because we really connect people to the elements and we connect people to their own inner healer, to that own part of them that whispers the truth to them. And, you know, other people can see what's wrong with you or what's going on with you and tell you about it. But when you get it directly from your own source, you're less defensive, you're less argumentative. And I know this from working in treatment. We would try and teach people about their addiction. But when I would breathe people, they would tell me about their addiction. So that's a very important distinction to moving the authority from the outer to the inner. And this inner authority, and I'm not talking about the inner critic, but I'm talking about this inner authority, this wise one, this soul whisperer that really has our best interest at heart, is also connected to the soul of nature. And right now, if we don't learn to nurture ourselves and learn to nurture in nature and to have reciprocity with nature, we may not have a planet. And certainly those of us who have children or grandchildren, they may be the ones who don't have a planet that they can live on. I was very, very touched with the movie with Interstellar. Nita and I actually watched that together, and I watched it twice after that. And that what really saved that planet was the gravity of love. And so for me at this time, there's so much on our planet. I'm not even going to start naming what's wrong with it. But I would say in a global way, what's wrong with it is the way we think. We've lost touch with our hearts. We haven't done the inner healing that we need to do to get back in touch with this natural wisdom that we all have. The animals have it, the trees, everything has it, and we have it too. It's just been repressed. It's been shut away. So the quicker we can accelerate our consciousness and get back in touch with the source of ourselves, who it is we really are, then we become the resources. We have the resources to help heal ourselves, and in turn, by doing that, to help heal our aching planet. Grandmother Twile used to say to me, don't worry so much about the planet. It's people that need to heal, because the planet someday will be here and all the people will be gone because they will not have healed themselves. There'll be another extinct species. But if people learn to heal, they will naturally find themselves more balanced and coming from their hearts and living from a heart wisdom, which is different than just being emotional. Heart is strength. Living from a courageous place and being creative. And as they do that, the world will naturally not be polluted. The world will be in harmony again with human beings, just as it is with the rest of nature. So the human nature is what needs to heal now. And the way to do that, I believe, is through accelerated consciousness. The last thing I'll say is that I don't believe we have time for evolution. I think that it's evolution is too slow. That's why we need practices like shamanic breath work that accelerate our consciousness, activate the imaginal cells that the scientists speak about that we all possess, and download our future selves now.
Yes, and like you say, it's a lot of inner work, and I think we're all feeling that need to accelerate, and the whole world seems to be accelerating, but we're talking about accelerating the healing. And so what are some things that are important to remember in all this, if you could share with people in our last couple of minutes?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that I've never truly met anyone who's not capable of awakening. And it didn't matter if they had some sort of deficit in, you know, mentally or emotionally or their age. I remember an alcoholic man in his 80s working with him, and he didn't have a long time to live. He lived about a year after he did some inner work, actually. And he did heal before he died. And, you know, it really, he was able to make amends to his whole family for abandoning them, to his children, to his grandchildren, to his wife, all of those people. And then they were able to do healing because he did healing. So the most important thing I believe all of us can do is take responsibility for ourselves, to change ourselves, to be the best, I guess you could say, the best model of who it is that we can be one day at a time, to forgive ourselves when we're not, to forgive others, to have patience, but not to get complacent, and to be in touch with our inner fire, and to trust the great mystery as we're changing ourselves, because it takes a lot of trust to let our old selves and old personalities die, and to rebirth the part of us that has always wanted to be here and the part that was meant to be here. And of course, when we do that, we're going to step into what I believe, and I've witnessed hundreds of times, stepping into our true soul's purpose.
Yeah, I think that's a lot what people are striving for, and that journey to find that soul purpose. And so what you're saying is for people to get in touch with breath work, to find perhaps somebody in the area where you live that does breath work, whether it's shamanic or other kinds of breath work. It's it makes you go inward. You know, you really have to consciously breathe in. And what you're talking about too is the need to practice to live consciously. And I just want to go over some of the aspects of that you have in the book, and we don't have time to talk about them, but is presence, forgiveness,
yes,
healthy expressions of anger, acceptance of pain and suffering as part of life, self-compassion, and gratitude. And of course, gratitude, ending with gratitude is, yeah, so many people talk about the importance of gratitude. And that's such an important great aspect of living consciously, of to be in a state of gratitude.
Yeah, the grandmother Twila used to always say that the most important thing to do was to develop a daily attitude of gratitude. And the little prayer she taught me that I teach everyone that we work with is very simple. We stand out on my deck, we look out at the mountains, and we raise our hands to the sky, and we go, "Help!" And then we acknowledge that we're going to get help by saying, "Thank you." We lean over, we touch the earth, and we go, "Help." And then we acknowledge that everything we have has come from this earth that we have physically, and we say, "Thank you." And then we touch our hearts and we stand upright and we say, "Help." And we know that when we turn to our hearts, we always get the help that we need. It's there all along. And we say, "Thank you" to our hearts. And this attitude of gratitude takes us a long, long ways in life. And it's a simple practice that we can do every day. Help and thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Well, thank you, Star Wolf, for being on the show today.
It's been my pleasure, and went by very quickly, and it's a wonderful show, and thank you for having me on it.
Yes. Well, everybody check out the new book by Linda Star Wolf and Nita Gage. It's Soul Whispering, The Art of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness. And check out the website and what is offered there at www.shamanicbreathwork.org. So I'm Chris Stainis, the founder of Woman of Wisdom Foundation, and invite you to check out my book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. It's an exploration of the divine feminine from many different voices. Many of our presenters at WOW, attendees, poetry, art, very diverse expressions of the divine feminine. And you can check that out on our website, womanofwisdom.org. Well, I hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll be back next Friday.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.